Deborah, the judge, and prophetess, anointed above the fellows. Judges 4:4-5, and Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lappiduth, she judged Israel at that time. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. During the era of Judges, Deborah was one of the most powerful spiritual leaders. She had a dual ministry of judge and prophetess. God anointed her with spiritual judgment to settle controversies and debates among his people. In the Old Testament, God commanded Moses to appoint judges and officers, both male and female. Deuteronomy 16:18, judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, throughout thy tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. There was not a man in Israel prepared spiritually with the prophetic message of faith and courage to deliver God's people from their most powerful enemies. Deborah looked through the telescope of time and prophesied to Barak the future victory of Israel over King Jabin's army with uncanny accuracy. King Jabin had mightily oppressed the people of God for 20 years, until God anointed Deborah. God gave her wisdom to defeat his army through spiritual leadership. The psalmist proclaimed, Psalm 45:7, Thou lovest righteousness, and hatest wickedness, therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Barak, who was in charge of the strategic forces of the army of Israel, was obviously dysfunctional. He was reluctant to fight against Israel's enemies, who were King Jabin and Sisera, the captain of his army. Judges 4:6-9, And she sent and called Barak the son of Abinoam out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go, and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun? And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. And Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me, then I will go, but if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell deliver Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose, and went with Barak to Kadesh. Barak had faith in Deborah's judicial authority from God. He did not believe that he would win the war without her presence at the battle against King Jabin and his heathen army. Therefore, God withheld Barak from receiving the honor of killing Sisera. The scriptures disclosed that Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, destroyed him. God honored her for having wisdom and courage to destroy an enemy of Israel. Verse 21, Then Jael Heber's wife took a nail of the tent, and took an hammer in her hand, and went softly unto him, and smote the nail into his temples, and fastened it into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary. So he died. God appointed Jael to conquer one of Israel's fiercest enemies. God proclaimed to Isaiah, Isaiah 59:16, And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor, therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. The prophet Hosea was emphatic about the disobedient men of his era. Hosea 6:7, But they like men have transgressed the covenant, there have they dealt treacherously against me. God anointed Deborah with dynamic wisdom, power, and time for judgment. Amos declared, Amos 5:24, But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Judges 4:23, So God subdued on that day Jabin the king of Canaan before the children of Israel. In the New Testament dispensation, spiritual people fight the enemy with the word of God and prayer, and not with human weapons. Jesus warned Peter, St. Matthew 26:52, Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. In our era, the devil deceives those who currently carry weapons to destroy people. They will fall into destruction because of their weapons. Paul proclaimed, 2 Corinthians 10:4, For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The psalmist sung another song of victory. Psalm 89:18, For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. The wise preacher King Solomon declared, Proverbs 21:31, Safety is of the Lord. The New Testament is profound. Hebrews 4:12, For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Hebrew writer is repetitive, stipulating in the New Testament how God loves those who live right. Hebrews 1:9, Thou hast loved righteousness, and hated iniquity, therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Again, God reiterated his special and profound love for Deborah, who dedicated herself to him for the deliverance of her people. God gave her the prophetic message for Israel's deliverance. The psalmist proclaimed that God protects us in all eras. Psalm 46:5, God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved, God shall help her, and that right early. Psalm 45:6, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, the scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Judges 5:31, And the land had rest 40 years. Deborah judged Israel for 40 years. Obviously, her husband was not executing judgment in her administration. The scripture clearly stipulated that the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Verse 7, The inhabitants of the villages ceased, they ceased in Israel, until that I Deborah arose, that I arose a mother in Israel. Deborah was not merely a judge and prophetess. She had the skill, love, and sensitivity of a mother for her people. We will remember Deborah's name in all eras of biblical history. God proclaimed, Psalm 45:17, I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations, therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. Verse 2, Thou art fairer than the children of men, grace is poured into thy lips, therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Deborah was holy. She was not evil like Dan, who was a judge in his time. God was emphatic to Moses about Dan. He chose to be an evil, unjust judge. Genesis 49:16-17, Dan shall judge his people, as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path, that bite the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. Dan was a descendant of the serpent who lied and deceived Eve concerning the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Humanity cannot be good and evil simultaneously. The devil did not defeat Deborah with the lust of the flesh as he defeated Samson, who was a judge in his time. Samson had a perpetual lust for ungodly women. Judges 16:1, Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. Verse 4, And it came to pass afterward, that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Samson sported with sin. His joy was to have sex with heathen women. The Philistines arrested and humiliated him in Gaza, the city where he had sex with a prostitute. Verse 21, The Philistines took him, and put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Verse 25, And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, Call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. The heathen plucked out his eyes and made a spectacle of him. The wise preacher, King Solomon, declared, Proverbs 10:23, It is as sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. Fools love professional and amateur sports and the pleasure of illicit sex. Their emotional high causes them to fantasize in pleasures of sins. However, professional and amateur sports are pleasures of sin and not reality. Some activities are good for physical health. However, in the New Testament, Apostle Paul warned believers about the pleasures of sports in 1 Timothy 4:8, For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Exuberance in sports will not deceive those who are wise. The pleasure of sin was not worth the humiliation, suffering, and shame he endured, and consequently, death. He died with the heathen. James was explicit in the New Testament, James 1:15-16, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Because of Samson's lust and disobedience to the will of God and his parents, he paid the ultimate price of a premature death. The anointing rested mightily upon him for a season. However, the Spirit of God departed from him after he had sex with Delilah. He died prematurely. Judges 16:20, the Lord departed from him. The Lord's presence was his spirit. When God took the Holy Spirit from him, he became weak as other men. Obviously, he died in infamy because of his lust for evil women, and Delilah, who betrayed him for money. Verse 31, then his brethren and all the house of his father came down, and took him, and brought him up, and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. When men fail to consecrate themselves for the service of God, he will anoint women, and sometimes children, to fulfill his divine will. God declared, Ezekiel 22:30, and I sought for a man among them, that should make up the hedge, and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. God proclaimed to Isaiah, Isaiah 3:4, and I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. Verse 12, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Jeremiah proclaimed, Jeremiah 31:22. A woman shall compass lead a man. Obviously, God ordained righteous women and children to rule over disobedient men. 2 Chronicles 34:1, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. Verse 3, for in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. Josiah was a descendant of King David from the tribe of Judah. In the era of King Josiah, a cloud of spiritual wickedness captured Israel. They were disobedient to the word of God. When King Josiah read the book of the law, fear seized upon him, because God revealed his indignation in his words. There was a prophetess named Huldah. She was a prophetic messenger of God in the era of King Josiah. God anointed her above the fellows. Verses 20-22, and the king commanded Hilkiah, saying, go, inquire of the Lord for me. And Hilkiah went to Huldah the prophetess, verse 23, and she answered them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell ye the man that sent you to me. God had chosen that dedicated woman to give King Josiah a message in one of Israel's darkest hours when they worshipped false gods. Verses 24-25, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods. St. Luke 1:5-6, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, and his wife Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. God's true priests in all eras married women, and were fathers of children. Exodus 6:23, and Aaron took him Elisheva, daughter of Amminadab, sister of Nashon, to wife, and she bare him Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. Aaron, their father, was the high priest. St. Luke 1:13, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Verse 15, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Verse 67, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost, and prophesied. St. Luke 1:41-42, and it came to pass, that, when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice, and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Verse 44, For, lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. That unborn babe was John the Baptist. He was full of the Holy Spirit. The scriptures reveal that true Baptists are holy people, full of the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth spoke these words to Mary after the angel Gabriel visited her, and emphasized that she was the chosen virgin to be the mother of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. St. Luke 1:45, And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. God anointed Mary above her espoused husband Joseph with miraculous faith and wisdom, prior to the holy conception of the baby Jesus. St. Luke 1:26-27, The sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, and the virgin's name was Mary. Verses 30-31, And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Verses 34-35, Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee, therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was not a typical virgin. She had a dynamic experience and testimony. God filled her with his Holy Spirit. She replied to the angel, verse 38, And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Mary continues, verses 52-53, He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. She emphasized that some unbelievers may be financially rich. However, they are spiritually poor, and spiritually empty, because they do not have the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. The miraculous conception confused Joseph. The Virgin Mary appeared to be pregnant. St. Matthew 1:19-20, Then Joseph her husband, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Verse 25, And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Mary was an extraordinarily special virgin. She was the only woman in the world whom the Holy Spirit impregnated. Anna was a powerful example of women of all eras whom God anointed above the fellows. She prophesied the day Joseph and Mary brought Jesus into the temple to present him to the Lord. St. Luke 2:22-24, They brought him to Jerusalem, to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, Every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, verses 36-38, And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Aser. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. God anointed Mary Magdalene above the fellows. She was the first to receive the resurrection message after Jesus rose from the dead. St. Mark 16:9-11, When Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. They had heard that he was alive, and had been seen of her, believed not. Verse 14, afterward he Jesus, upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them, after he was risen. Jesus gave Mary Magdalene double honor. He gave her honor for anointing his body prior to the crucifixion, and honored her to be first to see him after his resurrection. St. Matthew 19:28-29, and Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Isaiah proclaimed, Isaiah 61:7, For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion, therefore in their land they shall possess the double, everlasting joy shall be unto them. Jesus rebuked his disciples while he was alive concerning Mary Magdalene fulfilling the charge to anoint his body. They did not comprehend the far-reaching power of the anointing. He honored her for her faith, courage, and good works. He will never take honor from a righteous woman who does the will of God, and give it to an unbelieving and disobedient man. St. Mark 14:6, And Jesus said, Let her alone, why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work. Verses 8-9, She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Anointing is a special spiritual gift from God to consecrate those whom he has chosen to minister the word of God. God does not send those whom he has not anointed with his Holy Spirit. Isaiah 48:16, Now the Lord God, and his Spirit, hath sent me. Isaiah declared the prophetic message of the anointing of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 61:1, The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, he hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. God was emphatic in all times. He said to Moses, Exodus 30:30-31, And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. This shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. The New Testament Hebrew writer wrote, Hebrews 5:4, And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Spiritual anointing comes exclusively from God's Holy Spirit. It is good to go to colleges and universities because we live in a time of high technology. However, God does not authorize seminaries to give the Holy Spirit. They can merely teach biblical history. Paul was clear and emphatic in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 2:14, But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, humans are spiritually illiterate and spiritually dumb. It matters not how much education you have. Jesus cast out the dumb devil. St. Luke 11:14, And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. The devil is an unclean spirit that works through evil people. That spirit cannot hear or speak in the spiritual language of God. Jesus proclaimed, St. Luke 4:18-19, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Verses 21-22, And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bare him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Jesus Christ announced that he fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy that he was the living Messiah when the Spirit of God anointed him in the presence of the congregation. Jesus continues, St. John 13:15. I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. The Holy Spirit must anoint us before we attempt to preach the sacred gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul declared, Romans 10:15, and how shall they preach, except they be sent? Acts 9:17, and Ananias went his way, and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 13:9, then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost. Anyone who goes forth to preach without the anointing of the Holy Spirit is a deceiver. John reveals, Revelation 20:10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Apostle Paul said, Ephesians 5:23. Christ is the head of the church, he chooses us according to our faith, abilities, and obedience to him. Therefore, he will severely judge anyone who nullifies and fight his anointed. The psalmist reiterated God's destruction to those who are enemies to his anointed. God declared, Psalm 105:15. Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. The Lord commands men to humble themselves and believe his word. It does not matter from whom it comes, whether male or female. Paul proclaimed to the Roman Christians in the New Testament, Romans 13:1-2, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God, the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. My testimony and obedience to Jesus Christ are current examples for male and female ministers. Jesus said to his disciples, St. Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. When we serve the Lord, we should evolve daily in spiritual knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, in which we receive on-the-job training. After Paul learned the truth, he said, Philippians 4:3, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Galatians 3:28, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Apostle Paul articulated, 1 Corinthians 1:27-29, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. The burdens, which the enemy brings upon us, and the yokes, are the tribulations godly people endure. However, Jesus gives us the anointing to spiritually conquer and destroy the forces of evil. God proclaimed to Isaiah, Isaiah 10:27, and it shall come to pass in that day, that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. God declared that he anointed David. The anointing of the Holy Spirit gave him victory over all enemies in battle. Psalm 89:20, I have found David my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him. Verses 22-24, the enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. The holy oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The horn is a metaphor of the power of God, which destroyed David's enemies in warfare. God was emphatic to Moses, Deuteronomy 7:6-7, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. The Holy Spirit anoints holy people. We are the fewest of all people whom God created on the earth, both Jews and Gentiles. David prayed, Psalm 86:2, Preserve my soul, for I am holy, O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Psalm 16:10, For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Acts 10:34-35, Then Peter opened his mouth, and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him, and worketh righteousness, is accepted with him. Peter acknowledged that God loved the Gentiles. They also received the Holy Spirit. Acts 11:15-16, And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Paul declared, Romans 8:9, Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Jesus proclaimed, St. Matthew 25:1-4, Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps, and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Jesus declared to the foolish virgins, verses 11-12, Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. The lamp is a symbol of the word of God. The psalmist articulated, Psalm 119:105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. The oil symbolizes the Holy Spirit. Jesus commands that the true church must have oil, which is his Holy Spirit. The foolish virgins did not prepare themselves. Consequently, they did not have oil in their vessels. The foolish virgins are humanity who thinks that morality alone is sufficient for their salvation. They were lost because they did not repent and come to Jesus for their salvation. The world is lost because they do not have the Holy Spirit. Paul was clear and emphatic, 2 Corinthians 4:3, But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. The wise virgins' lamps were full of oil. The Spirit of Jesus Christ is the instructor who gives wisdom and knowledge to the church. The wise servants are those whose vessels are full of the Holy Spirit, because they are obedient. Paul was dynamic in the New Testament writing, 1 Corinthians 6:2, Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? Jude declared, Jude 1:14-15. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. The saints are holy people in all times who overcome the devil and all evil forces of the world. John emphasized, Revelation 21:2, And I John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Jesus revealed to John, Revelation 2:26-27, And he that overcometh, and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. Those whom God anointed above the fellows are spiritual conquerors in all times. They have the shepherd's spiritual rod of authority to destroy lies and deception, which comes from the family of devils. David said, Psalm 23:4, Thy rod and thy staff they comfort me. Our highest aspiration in prayer should be for God to anoint us perpetually with his Holy Spirit. The psalmist encouraged God's anointed, Psalm 92:10. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. 1 Samuel 16:13, Then Samuel took the horn of oil, and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up, and went to Ramah. Paul disclosed to the Roman Christians, Romans 8:37, We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The true church, male and female, is God's anointed. God anointed them above the fellows with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. The Psalmist's Inquisition, How the Heathen Raged. Psalm 2:1-2, Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together, against the Lord, and against his anointed. Conclusion, God rebuked the heathen in all times. Isaiah declared, Isaiah 10:27, And it shall come to pass in that day, that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing.